I'm Dr. Masha, and this is Hyperbaric Podcast. Today's episode will be especially interesting for people who suffer from traumatic brain injury or any type of physical injury. Also for their caregivers and for practitioners who treat patients with traumatic brain injury and physical injuries. In this episode, I speak with Dr. Holly Christie, who specializes in strain counter strain technique. This particular therapy can be used integratively and synergistically together with hyperbaric oxygen therapy to improve results, to improve health outcome for the patients with traumatic brain injury and physical injury. Hyperbarics is absolutely, by all means, really helpful in cases of traumatic brain injury. And we have a lot of episodes with patients and doctors who prove that. There's also literature available. However, in some cases, hyperbarics might not be enough, or it might be taking too long to get a patient where he needs to get to completely recover. And that's when we want to try and use synergistic therapies to help people recover faster. I find that strain counter strain technique is very helpful, can be used together with hyperbarics. So today I'm speaking with Dr. Holly Christie. I welcome her to the show, and she'll explain to us what is strain counter strain, who can benefit, how to use it, and also some absolutely amazing information for practitioners who want to learn more about it. Welcome to the show, Dr. Christie. I'm really excited to have you with me. And please tell us, what is strain counter strain technique?
Fascial counter strain is an evolution from strain and counter strain, which was developed by an osteopathic physician in the 1950s, Dr. Lawrence Jones. And it has evolved into this, we're now calling it fascial counter strain, where it was strain and counter strain, from Mr. Brian Tuckey, he actually understands the physiology and anatomy of the body better than anyone I have ever met, any physician, any surgeon. He is a brilliant man. He's in Maryland, Frederick, Maryland, and he has been developing fascial counter strain since the mid-90s, and he's still developing it now. And he is probably one of the smartest people I've ever met in my life. It is a technique that is using the fascial system. And what we know about the fascia now, and it's fairly recent because I've even got medical students coming through who haven't heard this about fascia. Fascia contracts. Fascia is highly innervated with type 3 and type 4 nociceptors that can sense when something is in danger, right? So we have fascia wrapping up every tissue in our body, from the bones, ligaments, joints, to the nerves, the spinal cord, the brain, the arteries, the lymphatic vessels. Every organ has fascia around it, our integumentary system, everything, just under the skin, all the way down to the bone. And so every tissue with this fascia, we just thought it was inert, right? So, you know, you cut it away in surgery, no problem. We just learned it was just a wrapper, no big deal. Actually, it is a big deal. Its job is to protect. So when it senses danger, it will contract, okay? So what ends up happening with that contraction, in a very simple nutshell, is we have a contraction that then stops flow, right? So we have the inability of that tissue to then have perfusion into or drainage out of it, and then it stops functioning. So my analogy often is, if I were to put on a pair of jeans that's three sizes too small, nothing wrong with my legs, but the jeans are too small. So my feet turn purple and I have a giant muffin top. That's not fun. I won't be able to move very well. I won't be able to bend my legs very well. Walking might be painful. Still, nothing wrong with my legs. It's the wrapper. So if I then put a nice normal pair of jeans on, everything functions normally. That's kind of what counter strain does, is we restore function to tissues that are in a state of protective reflex, spasm, contraction, decreasing the flow, decreasing the function. And that literally happens from the spinal cord out.
I have actually a story to tell. When we were in Paris, in this particular conference, my mother, who is 77 years old, fell on the border of the bed. And she's experienced a lot of pain. She couldn't walk. She couldn't breathe. She barely could function. So we had to fly early from Paris to Taya. I had to take her to the hospital. And when I took her to the hospital and they did all kinds of tests, x-rays and ultrasounds and whatnot, they said that nothing is broken. But what has happened is that the muscles, that's how they explained it, contracted. And that is causing this dysfunction and tons of pain. And as a solution, they've sent her home from I don't know, from anti-inflammatories and painkillers.
And a muscle relaxant.
Yes, a muscle relaxant and a painkiller. Yeah, that's what it was. And it didn't provide a solution. It was only a temporary solution. So I guess that's when the counter-strain technique, what you do, really comes handy. Is this right?
Yes, absolutely. So a lot of times when our body protects, it can then let go. It's like, okay, I'm done. Threat's gone. I can go back to normal now. But there are times when the trauma is too great or it's a repetitive trauma. And that's when something stays in that state and the inflammation stays there and you don't have restoration. Okay. So that's when we come in and we say, all right, if it's something that a massage or acupuncture or a physical medicine therapy can help, great. But if that doesn't go away, that's the patients I normally get. I get the doctors and the physical therapists and stuff sending me people and they're like, yeah, this isn't working. And I know there's this other technique out there that helps with these things that we can't fix yet. And that's where we come in. So in the state of like a frozen shoulder, for example, you know, you've got somebody with adhesive capsulitis in their shoulder and they're like trying to get to here. And, you know, maybe the MRI is normal, or maybe it shows just a little labral tear and that maybe a little supraspinatus tear or something, but not enough to be like, okay, you should be able to move that shoulder. We can see function restore to a shoulder and even get full range of motion in one treatment. I've seen that happen. But for me, it's more important in my level of training to help the people who are even more hurt than that. So I have patients who come in who are literally considering suicide because of their PTSD, and or they are being told by their wife that they need to move out of the house because the anger is uncontrollable and they can't stop yelling at their kids and their wife. And then they apologize right away. But the trauma is so deep from their service or whatever they've experienced that they can't control their emotions. And that, believe it or not, can be a physiological response. So that's something where the body can take over. And
yeah,
that's something where counter-strain can come in and work on the brain blood flow, work on the sympathetic nervous system to calm those nerves that are fire, 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 fire. And they're saying, stay vigilant. You could die at any moment. And we calm that down physically. So the nerves aren't firing all the time saying you could die. So when we calm that physiologically down, then that person's nervous system has hit a reset button and they have normal function. I've literally had people come back and say, you saved my marriage or you saved my life, because now their nervous system is actually functioning normally. I think it's great that we can help a frozen shoulder, but it brings tears to my eyes knowing that we can save a life.
Yeah, it's absolutely priceless. And you're so right when you say that a lot of times, although it looks like mental health, it really is not. It is a physiological, that uncontrolled anger that you talked about. It's actually the physiological response. And we see it a lot in veterans or people who sustained several concussions or repetitive concussions, traumatic brain injury, or they were in combat, right?
Yes.
And there were some explosions nearby. And that what is causing now, that event in the past is what is causing now all those symptoms when either they want to commit a suicide or the anger is not controllable and their marriages are falling apart, their lives are falling apart. And hyperbaric oxygen therapy can play a big part in their recovery. And we've seen it over and over again. But for some people, it's just not enough. We can see like a 50% improvement or a 60% improvement with that. But we really want to see 100% improvement. And that's,
sure.
Yeah. And that's where combining therapies, I think, could be, because it's a synergistic effect. It's
absolutely.
1 + 1 = 3 or 10.
Yeah.
And not just 2, right?
Right.
So can we talk a little more about a veteran or somebody with traumatic brain injury? They come
sure.
in and what can they expect from this treatment? What is it like?
So how about if I tell you with a story?
Excellent.
I have done research on veterans and first responders since 2017. We started in a nonprofit called the Bridgeback Project, where that's our goal, is to help veterans and first responders with traumatic stress injuries. And so I told this story at the ICNM Congress too, where we had a gentleman who had a special warfare operator who had jumped out of an airplane and his chute did not open. And he landed at terminal velocity, which means you should die, on his head in the water. And then he survived it. In fact, he got himself to the boat somehow. He doesn't even know how, but he had 38 skull fractures. Every single rib was fractured at least once. Multiple organs were lacerated. He ended up being in a coma for 6 months, and he was honorably discharged because of his injuries and was told he wouldn't walk. Not only did he walk again, but he competed in a mountain biking race after that. And he lived in a constant state of pain and severe PTSD with suicidality. And he started seeing a colleague of mine who is brilliant, and he's in Fresno, California, Willie Cherry. And Willie started helping him with his pain. And this was like in 2014. But the pain is better, but the trauma response is not. He's still really having a hard time with any relationship in his life. So Willie brought him to see me. And what I did was I worked on his sympathetic nervous system. And what I do is I lay a patient on the table. So he was on the table and I was lightly touching his head. And I could feel how much tension there was in the head. So right now, if you grab your head and you kind of wiggle it around, you should be able to move. You know, you can feel kind of a bounciness of the bones in your head. You should, like, you can see in my forehead here how I have a little bit of motion in the scalp too. So that motion is normal. We should have that. And his was just like a balloon that had been blown so tight it was going to pop at any second. So I felt that tension there. And especially right behind the ears, there's a little area. If you feel behind the ears and behind the mastoid, that area is really tender. It indicates an autonomic system disorder. So he had really, really hyperactive sympathetic nerves. Totally makes sense. If you're an operator, a special worker operator, that means you are in, like, you know, the movies type of stuff, you know, like the Black Ops movies and all that stuff that we're like, wow, that's really cool. But it's extremely traumatic what they have to go through. So here's this guy who's constantly being reminded of all the horrible things he's seen. These memories just are constantly bombarding him. They don't leave him alone. His body is basically telling him all the time, you're going to die at any minute. So you better be aware. You better be hypervigilant. And you can see it. Like when you look at these people, they cannot help the darting of their eyes around the room because their body is saying, you're going to die, you're going to die, you're going to die, constantly knocking on their shoulder. So as I start to work on him, I'm just very gently doing some tender points and glides on his chest around his heart. And he sits bolt upright on the table, grabs the table with his hands, squeezes it, his veins bulge in his neck, his face turns red, and he just does this and is pouring tears down his face. And it probably lasted 10 seconds. And all I did was I just gently put my hand very softly on his shoulder. And I said, you are safe. You are okay. And that's it. And still gets me. Because at that time, what he was experiencing was a flashback. He was in Afghanistan. There were people everywhere trying to kill him. He was in mortal danger. His friends were dying. And he was there. Like all the sights, the sounds, the smells were there. And later on, he told Willie, because he was staring at Willie, you know, the guy who brought him to me. And they'd become really good friends by that point. So he was staring at Willie while this was happening. And he said, the only reason he didn't kill everybody in the room is because he knew Willie wasn't there in Afghanistan with him. And it was that intense for him, that flashback. And, you know, like I said, not very much time went by. And then he just took a dip, big breath, laid back down the table. And he looked right at me right in the eye. And he said, all right, get back to work, doc. And I finished working on his sympathetic nervous system. Again, just gentle motions of his legs, motions in his chest, and just some gliding, just gentle gliding of the tissue. By the way, we're always going in the direction the body wants us to go in. So if the tissue is fighting us, we're like, okay, body doesn't want that. Let's figure out where I went wrong and do some. So we finished doing this. And it's maybe at most an hour treatment. It was after a class I taught, so I wasn't keeping track of time. There was nobody after him. And, you know, what he says now, and you can talk to him, actually, because he's on our board of directors for the Bridgeback Project, and he's learning counterstrain himself because he wants to save lives. He said that saved his life. He said that he came in super skeptical, thinking this was woo-woo nonsense. I'm only doing this because my buddy Willie says it could possibly help, and why not, right? And now he quit his job. He's taken a year of massage school so he could have a license to touch people, even though he was a corpsman in the Navy and like he could perform, you know, battle surgery and stuff. But of course, when you get out, they don't give you a license to touch people. So he had to do massage school. Now he's taking all the classes. Now he's helping people. And he wants to have the ability to do what we do, to literally save people's lives, because he knows that that's what this can do.
What a remarkable
story. And, you know, a lot of times when I have veterans on the table, they don't have, most of them don't have, this guy had the most profound flashback I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. I've had other ones before, but doesn't happen a lot. Like a very, maybe 2% of the time at most that happens. But sometimes people will feel emotions. They'll feel like, wow, I feel like crying all of a sudden. I've had people get angry. I've had people feel depressed. And just it's almost like you're peeling off these layers and all these persona and all these different emotions that are stored at the same time of the event. They come out. And as they leave, a lot of times people take big, deep breaths and like, I feel that leaving. You know, they can feel as the physical restriction is released, they can feel some of the mental, emotional stuff released as well. That can even happen if I'm working on someone's plantar fasciitis, by the way, which is like, I'm not expecting that to happen. And all of a sudden someone starts crying and I'm like, this is great. This is something that is stored in your body with this, whatever happened to your foot leaving. Isn't that great?
So absolutely.
I had another guy who I was working on his sympathetic nervous system, which was also kind of in overdrive. And he was telling me how his kids tease him because he doesn't feel, he doesn't cry. He just is so flat affect for the most part. And he just, at the end of the treatment, he started to cry and he gets up off the table and he just gives me a big hug and said, I'm so happy. Thank you for bringing my ability to feel back. And it's not something people are excited about, not being able to feel. You know, they want to be able to have the full range of emotions and not just be cut off. Because that's what brings us the ability to have joy. We have to have the opposite of that too. We have to have that full spectrum. And if they've been cut off and they only have this tiny little window that they can live in, that's not fun. I can tell you right now that there are so many people out there that didn't even know that they were so numbed out until they started getting counterstroke, because they were just used to living that. They had been trafficked since they were born. You know, they'd been abused since they could remember words. And once you start peeling that out and peeling it away, and they start to see, it's almost like they see the world in full color again. It's profound. And it's something that, you know, I feel like that's my calling on the planet, is to really work with people who've had, you know, traumatic brain injuries or trauma of some sort that has taken their ability to be who they really are supposed to be in this world away to some extent.
Well, it's such a beautiful calling. Yeah, it really gives me goosebumps, because it's an ability to transform the lives of people who suffer the most. And mm-hmm. as you said it, I mean, we of course want to help everyone, but there is a difference between somebody who fell, and of course they're suffering, and somebody who's had a profound trauma, like being trafficked from the very early age, or somebody who's been in the war zone and now they came back and they absolutely cannot adapt to this world. So it's the core existence that is questioned, right? And if we can give that back as physicians, I think it's absolutely remarkable. And I mean, we cannot compare the suffering, because every suffering is the suffering. It's not like the leg hurts more than the arm, right? And for everybody, their suffering hurts the most. But to be able to help even in those situations where nothing else seems to help. How is that different from craniosacral therapy? Because craniosacral can do very similar, can have very similar results with people having that somatic emotional release and crying and remembering those traumas and releasing finally those traumas. Is it very different, or it's quite sort of similar?
It's quite different. Unfortunately, with counterstrain, the hardest part of it is that, you know, when we learn something new, we always want to attach it to something else. Oh, it's like this. So now I can mm-hmm. understand it. And so I guess of all the physical medicine modalities, it probably is the most like craniosacral, because craniosacral is also going in the direction of ease. I have not been trained in craniosacral. So please, if you're a craniosacral therapist and I get this wrong, feel free to correct me. And I'm sorry if I mess this up. But if you're going in the direction of ease with that cerebrospinal flow and helping to restore normal motion there, that's one system. We're working on every single system in the body. So we also work with the cerebrospinal fluid flow, but we're doing it more directly. We're like, okay, the left anterior lateral ventricle is full, and so it's causing a bulging of the head in that area. So we're going to treat that ventricle.
The reason I really wanted to bring you on this podcast is because we're constantly looking for therapies that could be integrated together with hyperbaric oxygen therapy, something that could use as a complementary therapy for the same kind of population. So here, for example, we're looking at veterans and people with traumatic brain injury. We're also looking at people with all types of musculoskeletal problems. As somebody who specializes in women's health, I think about women with endometriosis.
Yeah.
And, for example, somebody who's had an ectopic pregnancy and had to be operated, and now they have all the scar tissue that's sort of holding this fascia glued with organs glued, no blood flow. Now, with somebody like that, while they'll benefit from hyperbaric therapy because it was going to change their metabolic terrain, they need a therapist. And I always refer to either an osteopath or somebody who could help in their area. They really need someone skilled to work with this adhesions, this fascia and things like that. So these therapies are absolutely complementary. It's a pity that people don't know about this technique very much. So we need to get the word out.
Absolutely.
I'm really excited. Yeah, I'm really excited that you have the course. And if practitioners who are listening, and for example, they're already treating women with endometriosis or musculoskeletal problems or wounds, because you also mentioned diabetic wounds. And, you know, when we chatted briefly before the podcast, and they want to amplify their practice, they can reach out to you and they can learn this technique. Could you tell us? Please do.
You know, we need more.
We need more. Yeah. We need more practitioners, and we need practitioners to offer a wider range of therapies because we're all different. You know, I might benefit from hyperbarics, or I love acupuncture. It really goes well with my constitution. And somebody else would need counter strain technique, or we would, might both need it on a different level.
Work them together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I now that I'm talking to you, looking back, I'm like, I should have got a treatment from you because now I'm so far away. But I'll think about it. I'll plan my next
trip. Oh, for sure. I'm coming to your neck of the woods next summer, it sounds like.
Yeah, but I don't know if I want to wait until next summer. I think I'm planning my next U.S. trip to make sure that I can maybe travel by your clinic somehow. And yeah, because it sounds amazing. Absolutely amazing. We all need it. I also want to say that recently I've been seeing a lot of trauma come up and surface in a lot of people. It doesn't matter what they come in with, what is their chief complaint, so to say, whether it's endometriosis or they can't get pregnant or somebody with fibrocystic breasts, they all have this trauma, right? That is affecting how their body is functioning. So Dr. Hawley, just want to ask you quickly. So if these practitioners, if they want to take courses and become certified, what is the way to go? What should they do? Where should they reach out?
Right. So in the United States, there are two educational institutes that will do continuing education for counter strain. The primary one that you have to take first is the Jones Institute classes. The first class is called Fascial Counter Strain Foundation, and it's next being offered October, I believe, 20th through the 22nd or something like that. So you can go to jicounterstrain.com. and find those courses. There's also the Counter Strain Academy.
A lot of my audience are practitioners who use hyperbaric oxygen therapy. So what can happen in many diseases, and I talked about it at the last International Hyperbaric Association conference when I did a talk on women's health, what can happen, a lot of the root cause of the diseases is an old trauma, or at least partially it's a root cause. We're not even talking about this trauma because it's so hidden for that patient that it's not coming up in the conversation. So we're treating their liver, we're treating their gut, we're doing IV therapies, we're adding hyperbaric oxygen therapy, and it starts to send blood flow to the area of the brain that is sort of gray and not functioning because of that trauma. Mm-hmm. And that trauma starts to surface. Mm-hmm. And they can get re-traumatized at this point. They need to release that trauma. And hyperbarics can wake up that part of the brain so they can start feeling better. But we need a therapy at this point that will help them deal with trauma. And I think counter strain technique is absolutely excellent for that. Excellent.
Yes. It definitely helps the body, the physical body. But I also have my patients, I really want them to have mental, emotional support. Mm-hmm. So, and for some people, they don't want to see a therapist. I'm like, at least do a support group. But for most people, I really do like to have them have a relationship with a therapist, doing some kind of therapy that fits for them, whether that be EMDR or, you know, whatever they feel comfortable with. But to establish that kind of a relationship is really important, because when I or you, with what we're doing, get that response to come up in the body and they remember something or they relive it or they have a flashback or a memory, we can help it to physically release from the body with counter strain. But I also feel like it's really important to talk that through and process and help it to really leave the body all the way and not shove it back down. Because if they get back home, then they start ruminating about that memory and they don't do anything about it. I don't want it to restore in the body. Right?
What I found really helpful for people who don't have access to a therapist or who's had a bad experience with a psychotherapist, because that can happen too, is a device that's called Brain Tap. I don't know if you saw it. That's a sound, light, vibration therapy with meditation and visualization. It's absolutely amazing, because with trauma, it sort of puts you in a meditative state and it walks you and talks you through that trauma. And many times it's a device, not many times, it's a device that it's approved for home use. But what I'm trying to say is that many times it is enough to get through that trauma if there's nobody to talk to, because that can happen. That can happen.
Yeah. Right.
And I've seen people also tell me, I'm sorry, but I'm not seeing a psychotherapist again because I've had a really bad experience. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter how much I try to persuade them that it's the way to go. They were like, no, I'm not doing that. So I think in cases like that, something like a Brain Tap device would be a good solution. Yeah.
Is that from Stephen Porges' group?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
No, it's from Patrick Porter. Yeah, Dr. Patrick Porter. Yeah. He's done an amazing job. I love mine.
Stephen Porges' group has something similar to that. I can't remember the name of it, but he's the psychiatrist psychologist who developed the polyvagal theory.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a fascinating man, talking about trauma at an extreme level can cause you to freeze, not fight or flight, but actually the vagus takes control and you freeze. And that actually really helps a lot of patients who have frozen and have thought, oh, well, I should have fought back, or I should have done this, or I should have done that. And then to give them the relief of saying, you couldn't, your body took over. And it said, for you to stay alive, you need to play dead. And it didn't give you a choice.
Yeah, those devices are excellent. I'll have a link in the podcast description.
Great.
For those who are interested. I'll send you a link as well, just for you to see what it's like.
And yeah, I'd like to see that.
Yeah. And if people want to follow you and your work, where can they find you?
Well, they can find me teaching for the Jones Institute, GI, counterstrain.com, the Counterstrain Academy at counterstrain.com. Personally, my clinic is element7wellness.com. That's the number 7. And then my nonprofit is bridgeback.org.
So there are many ways to reach you, but if people want to come to your clinic, because I'm sure there are people who travel out of state to see you. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm in Tulsa, Washington, which is, you know, purposefully a ferry ride and a 20-minute drive from downtown Seattle.
Excellent. Excellent. So for some people, it's not a very long drive. For others, it's probably going from one side of the country to another side of the country. And for those who want to study, again, they can reach out to the academy. Dr. Hawley.
There's also, so Kina Formations is the one in France. K-I-N-E Formations, I believe, is the one in France. And then in Australia, there's also where the classes are held in Australia. There's Australia branches as well, and then I believe also Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And I can send you those links so you can put it in the show notes.
Yes, please. I would love that. And I'd like to thank you for taking this time. And I'd love to thank you for this conversation personally, because I learned a lot. It's amazing. I think that's why I do podcasting, because I love to connect with other practitioners with a purpose, with a dream, you know? And I just hope there are more of us out there helping out people. But our profession is growing. Naturopathic medicine definitely is growing. So that's good. We'll have all the links in the podcast description. Guys, if you like this episode, please give us likes, because it helps other people to see this information. And if you know someone who is suffering maybe from traumatic brain injury, PTSD, or other conditions that we mentioned in this podcast, send them a link. It might save somebody's life. Otherwise, I'll see you next week.